everybody. So the last time we started to consider the Barabasi-Albert model. Together with some music. And so the idea is that if you have a network with some links and you add a new site, like in the internet, you're creating your own homepage, with whom do you link? Do you link with sites which are relatively unknown, or do you link with sites which are famous, like Google and so? And that the latter is the most likely thing to happen. So that's a connection probability P of Ki, where Ki is a degree. Ki 1 here equals 1, for example, and K2 equals 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's before you connect a new site, is proportional to Ki divided by sum over j Kj for the normalization. By the way, in the exercise, there was a question in the exercise, you can then redo the same, where P of Ki is proportional to Ki. In the exercise, they're actually 1, but actually you can take any constant, let's say C, you can just generalize that instead of having a 1, and see how this changes the exponent. So that's exponent changes. So that was also related to one question. Now, what happens if a site doesn't have, so if I have a site like that, it's single, so we'll never get anything because connection probability is 0. So it's very trivial to generalize the calculation we are doing today to the case where I've a constant. Now, of course, for large k, it doesn't matter really. So if somebody has a k of 10,000 and c is 1 or 2, this doesn't really matter. But nevertheless, it changes exponents. So they are adding times. Because we are adding every site. So at t equals 0, we have a certain number of sites. So if we if every vertex has an index 1, 2, 3, then the adding time t1 equals t2, in this case equals t3 equals 0, because we add these sites at time step 0. And let's say at t equals 1, we add one site. So we have these three, and we add one new site. Then we have here t4 equals 1, and so on. So we have these are the times when a new site is added. These are the adding times. And this is important because we have to calculate now the time-dependent connectivity for every site, ki, equals ki of t, but only, of course, if t is larger than ti, because if the site didn't yet existed, because it was not yet present, it cannot have no connectivity. So we have to calculate, since it's a dynamical system, to calculate the time dependence of the connectivity of all sites, of course, on the average. And we derived the following differential equation by calculating the normalization. We calculated the differential equation that dki by dt equals ki over 2t. And that is because the probability that you get a new site, a new link, is proportional to your own connectivity because of this preferential attachment. So that's called preferential attachment. And the normalization comes because the total number of connectivity is proportional to the time t, because you're adding a constant number of connections per time. So, and for example, here we can add m equals 2 connections at every time step, and but this cancels out. So, in totally, we have 2t for the normalization. Now, that's the differential equation, and we, for every differential equation, we have to give the initial condition. And the initial condition is that ki of ti equals exactly m. Why is that the initial condition? Because if I add a site, I started by making m connections to the existing network. So that is the initial condition. And that is easy to solve. The solution is then ki of t equals m t divided by ti to the power 1/2. Why is that the case? Well, if you take the derivative, you get 1/2 from the exponent, and the exponent becomes minus 1/2, so that is divided by t, and the 1/2 of the exponent is exactly this 2. So if you look now at that graphically, for adding times, let's say here, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so, that is t. So we add our first, and let's say m equals 2 in our case, m equals 2. So we add our first additional site, so let's say site 3 or 4 in our case. So it starts here at time t, and then it grows like a square root. That is ki of t. And then at the next time step, I'm adding a new site, and it grows also like a square root, and so on. Now, I have to take, at a certain time step, I want to calculate the degree distribution. So, for a given time step t, I have this degree, this degree, this degree, this degree, and this degree. And then I can calculate the degree distribution by looking at what kind of degrees I have, and calculating the probability to find a degree in a certain range. And then I can do that for larger and larger times in order to get the stationary limit. So that's what we have to calculate, the degree distribution at a fixed time. So it's actually easier to calculate the integrated degree distribution. So the integrated degree distribution, something like p, well, I just write it down. I will integrate it from 0 to a big k, capital K, pk, dk. So instead of calculating degree distribution pk directly, we will calculate it something like the integrated, so the probability to find a degree less than k, or actually we will maybe do it the other way around. No, actually like that. So that is the integrated probability. So p, the probability that ki of t is larger sum k. So that is the same as the integrated degree distribution. The probability that a certain vertex has a degree smaller than a certain k, and of course then I have to do the sum over all vertices which I have. If I do the sum over all vertices, I get then the integrated degree distribution. So what I do is here, I make a cut, and I sum up how many vertices I have smaller than a certain k. And then I can get the degree distribution by just the normal differentiation. And this is relatively easy, namely, that is just the probability, so P is here for probability, that is the probability that the adding time Ti is larger than m squared t divided by k squared. So if I have a certain cut at a certain time t, then it's clear that only vertices which have been added initially will be larger, and all the other vertices have a smaller degree k if they have been added later. And so what is the condition? The condition is if this one is k, because if this is my k dependence, and if I solve this for k, I get exactly this condition. So I take the square divided by m squared multiplied by ti, then I get this condition for ti, which is exactly setting this to zero, to k. Okay, so that means I just have to add over the adding times. Now, how many adding times have I? Now I have to calculate how many adding times I have. So if I look at the P of Ti, that is the adding time distribution, adding times distribution. That is very simple because I'm adding randomly. So these are my adding times Ti, and I'm at time t. Then my adding time distribution is flat. Until time t, I'm adding vertices with the same probability at every time step. Of course, I have, since I'm time t, I have no adding times larger than t. So the adding time distribution is normalized. The total number of vertices n of t equals m0 plus t, because this is my starting number. Actually, I should put n0. Somebody noticed that was not a good notation. n0 plus t, because I'm adding one time at every time t. So that this value here is n0 plus t. So that is my adding time distribution. So, and now I have just to multiply these two equations. So that is the probability, and Ki is larger. And so then I can just add them all up. So that means the probability so I have to calculate that. So this probability is nothing else than 1 minus m squared t divided by k squared, have to do something wrong, divided by n0 plus 1, the probability, Okay, so this is so from these adding times, I have to take only these ones which are larger than this value. So I have to calculate, I have to take this integral, where this one is given here by m squared t divided by k squared. So all sides which have been added after m squared t divided by k until 2 time t, all these sides have a degree which is smaller than k. And this distance is just not 1, but t, sorry. This distance is just t minus this one, t minus m squared t divided by k squared. And then I have to take the area because I have the probability. So I multiply with the height, which is 1 over n0 plus 1. So this is the most important part, or the most difficult conceptually, to think how I calculate this probability. The rest is just a little bit of math. That's the question. So then we are just essentially finished. Then we calculate the degree distribution p of k, which is just d p of ki of t smaller than k by dk, which is, of course, using this one, d by dk, p of ti larger than m squared t over k squared, which is just d by dk of what? Of t minus m squared t divided by k squared divided by n0 plus 1. And this is not very difficult. This is just, was there a 2 missing? No. No, that's correct. 2 m squared t n0 plus t, actually, not 1 was there always, here was a t. And I get here 1 over k cubed. So this depends on the time t, and now I take the limit t going to infinity. In the limit t going into infinity, this goes to a constant here, cancelling each other. So this goes then to 2 m squared 1 over k cubed. So I have a limiting distribution function for very large times t, and we see that with the power law, namely that p of k goes like 1 over k to the alpha with alpha equals 3. So I have a scale invariant degree distribution. So this is the main result here. Since I have this preferential attachment, I have a higher probability to link to sides which have already a high degree. The rich gets richer phenomena. I get a scale-free power law. Now, this is not really a proof, because we say, oh, maybe we get also scale-free power law if we do a random attachment. So if we have a new side, we add randomly links to existing sides. Well, in order to see that, we can calculate that and see what we get. So we will do that now. We will make the cross-check. What happens if we just do random attachment? Do we also get, or what kind of degree distribution do we obtain then? So that's an important part in science. One result is not enough, a positive result. You always have to cross-check what if I do it differently. That's a very fundamental principle. So, we do exactly the same calculation, just with random attachment. So we do a growth of the network with random attachment. Then we can write the differential equation directly, namely dki by dt equals m0 plus t minus 1, or n0 I used everywhere n0 now. And why that? Well, I have the total number of sides, n of t equals n0 plus t minus 1. Or plus t, or I use sometimes t and t minus 1, but for large time t doesn't matter. And so this is a total number side. So the probability, so I'm some side here. It doesn't matter how many. I'm adding m sides, m links. Let's say m equals 2. So probability is that I get a new link is just the number of new links divided by the total number of sides. So that is just the probability. So that is how it changes. This is a differential equation I can solve. And the solution is ki of t equals m times let me write it out. I'll write it like that. Log of n0 plus 1 minus t. The other way around. Plus t minus 1 divided by n0. Plus ti minus 1, plus 1. So why is that the solution? Well, first the initial condition is, if t equals ti, then I have here the log of 1, which is 0. So I have the initial condition is okay. Ki of ti equals m. And then if I take the derivative, the derivative of the log is 1 over, I get this one, and I have this prefactor. I think I should write it also here in this way. So that means I can do exactly the same consideration as before with the adding times. The only thing which changes is this connection between t and m. So this condition is the only thing which changes. Everything, all the other considerations are exactly the same. So the probability that ki of t equals smaller than k, or let's say equals k, so I have to solve this condition for ti, so I have to invert this one to solve for ti, I can do that. this is the condition then that ti equals M0 plus T minus 1 times e to the 1 minus k over m minus m0 plus 1. So I solve this one for Ti for a given k, and I get this condition. So that means I have to put this one now in here. So that means that the condition P of ki smaller than k equals now 1 over n0 plus t times t minus something. And this minus something is exactly this time here. So this minus something is just m0 plus t minus 1 times e to the minus, e to the 1 minus e to the 1 minus k over m minus m0 plus 1. And now I can take the derivative P of k. So I have to take the derivative with respect of k in order to get P of k equals d P of ki smaller than k. So the probability that these are smaller. And k is here in the exponent. So I get something which is proportional to e to the minus k over m, where I take all the other factors are here in the proportionality factor, because that's the only place where I have k. So that means I have an exponential distribution with an exponential fall off, e to the minus k over m, with the characteristic length scale m, because m is an average number of links I have per side. And so that is an exponential distribution. And of course, this is extremely different from a scale-free distribution. So we have checked. Oh, from the Uhrzeit. So we have checked that you really need preferential attachment to get this scale-free degree distribution. So, nevertheless, this is not an... So in this model building business, so we would like... So we observe something in nature, like scale-free behavior in networks. And then we would like to understand what's happening. Now, if you're coming from natural sciences, like in chemistry and physics, you do a lot of experiments in order to figure out really what is happening and to develop your fundamental theories. Now, in many other areas, like neurobiology, sociology, or human behavior, or the internet, you cannot do all these experiments. You cannot just, oh, I'll scrap the internet, I build it, I try, I change my rules, my legal rules, and see what kind of net is growing. So you're mostly based on observations, and in your model, you have to do some assumptions which are meaningful. But of course, it doesn't prove that this is the ultimate way the network grows. And in fact, you can construct other kind of models which also give you scale-free behavior. And one of the one is indicated in the exercise. Another one I'm just mentioning shortly now, it's a very similar model. But there's also other models which I'm not mentioning here. But of course, it doesn't... These models are very intuitive and very likely to happen, but it's very difficult to really prove in the end that this is the underlying mechanism. But nevertheless, we know that if we have some mechanism which follows this preferential attachment, we will get networks of this type. But the Umkehrschluss, der Umkehrschluss, wie heißt denn das? The argument in the opposite direction is not necessarily the cause. So a straightforward generalization of this model is preferential attachment plus internal growth. Of course, it is completely untrue that in the internet only new sites are adding links. In the internet, also existing sites change their connectivity. So we have the following situation. At every time step, we have a network with some links. So let's say this is our network at time t, and then I'm adding a new site. I'm adding one site. And adding m links. So m new links are one new vertex. But the m new links, I'll give that now two possibilities. The first probability is to add the new link between the new site and existing sites. And the second possibility I give is to add the new links in between already the existing network. So this is a generalization. So with the probability probability L, which is between, of course, 0 and 1. So L times M is the number of links, let's say call this side n for new links between n and existing site, right? And 1 minus r times m equals the new links between existing sites. And here I do this with preferential attachment, P of Ki, which is so proportional to Ki. And here I do it with preferential attachment Ki times Kj. So if this is I and this is I j, the probability that I add a new internal link is proportional to the degree of this and of the other ones. So it's proportional to the product of the internal degrees. So that is a straightforward generalization. For R equals 1, I have the Albert Barabasi model, which we just calculated. And for R equals 0, I just have only internal growth. And one can calculate that. We're not doing that here explicitly. You get a degree distribution P of k, which is 1 over k to the power alpha. And alpha is then calculated as 1 plus 1 minus r half. So is if r equals 1, this is here 2, so alpha equals 3. Of course, you get the result of the Barabasi-Albert model. And if alpha equals 0, I get 2. So alpha is in between 2 and 3. Which is, of course, a very interesting result, because this is what one is observing often for networks like the internet, that the exponent is in between 2 and 3. And we have now a model which interpolates smoothly the exponents between these two critical points, alpha equals 2 and 3. So we can calculate that along the same lines as we did here. Questions? So, how many?
6 for half.
Yeah. So, this is more or less all I wanted to say about graph theory. Of course, there are many more things to do, many interesting things to discuss. But in this lecture, since we want to give an overview over complex system in general, so we don't want to do only graph theory, only dynamical system, only random network, but I would like to give you, for all these important subjects, a foundation, so if you need that, you should have the basis enough to go on. So that is the idea of the partitioning of this lecture. And the next important point are complex dynamical systems. We already saw here that we will be treating over and over again dynamical processes. So dynamical processes means something which changes in time. So dynamical is denoted something which is not static, but changing with time. Like here, we have the degree changing with time, and all interesting stuff is changing with time, because if something is static, normally it's not as interesting than something changing in time, and having the possibility of emergent phenomena. So there are many different ways that properties of a system can change in time. There are many different principles. They all have to be described by equations. So there must be a fundamental equation describing how the properties change. And so this is in the domain of dynamical system theory. Time can be either discrete or continuous. Discrete if every hour I do something. Continuous if the time steps are so small that I don't see the difference. At the moment, we believe that the physical time in nature is continuous. At least we don't have the observation capabilities to see a finite discreteness of time. So if there's a discrete time in nature, we don't see it. It's too small, the discrete steps. So then we could talk about discrete time. And so that is, we will then start the next time about in the chapter 2, dynamical system theory. And so in dynamical system theory, you typically have a few variables. Let's say you could call them x equals x of t, or y equals y of t, and so on. Classical examples are the motion of a planet around the sun. So if you have the sun and you have a planet P, then you can also have here a vector r. R of t, if you do it in two dimension, is x of t, y of t, and let's say z is constant. And then, of course, in physics, in classical dynamics, you know the equation of motion. So the equation determining how that changes is something like d by dt of r of t is something. Or actually, in classical mechanics, we have the second derivative here, m equals f. That is Newton's equation. The second derivative or the first derivative of the momentum is the force. So we will talk about all kinds of these kinds of equation of motions. Either time might be continuous, like in physics, or discrete, like in many other processes. And then, so that is the basis, dynamic system theory, having a few variables, x, y, and z, not many. And in one of the following chapters, then, we will consider what happens if the number of degrees of freedom goes to infinity. So if we have many x, y, z going to infinity. But before we do that, we have to know the basic concept of dynamic system theories. So things, and what I will do is also, that's of course also a part here which is very extensive. So I assume that in a certain sense you know the most basic concepts. You have already seen in your life differential equations, and I will remind you of the most important concepts, and I will bring in you a few new ones. But the basis will that I assume that it's not the first time in your life that you see differential equations. So either if you're coming from physics, that is clear, because everything in physics is differential equation. I'm not sure if you're coming from informatics. I don't know how informatics students are. And we will start some next time about that. Good questions? No. Good.